This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our mind and think through it. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. That opening prayer is one of my favorites, as those of you who come regularly hear me say it a lot. And I thought it was perfect for today because we're trying to figure out what the heck Jesus is saying. It's just not like Jesus, it doesn't seem. He says, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. We hear Jesus in all of his humanity today. We forget frequently that Jesus was a human being, like you, like me. He was stressed. He was almost to Jerusalem. He'd been taking this long trek, remember, from Galilee to Jerusalem, and he was almost there, and it was urgent that he convey to those who were following him so many things. He was stressed. I want to rile you up, light a fire under you. It's as if he's saying to them and to us. Our beginning readings speak just as urgently. From Isaiah, it starts out real beautifully and then goes all wrong. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. Why then are there wild grapes instead of grapes? And from this psalm, shine forth, stir up your strength, come to help us, restore us, O God of hosts. And from Hebrews, we hear about all those people who have gone before us, at least a sampling. If you read the whole book of Hebrews, you'll hear even more. Those who have gone before us, even when facing grave danger, and stood up for the faith and for the love of Christ, no matter what the danger, no matter what. Jesus is saying, see what's real in your lives. Don't settle for anything less than the depth of my love, the power of my compassion, and the risk of my truth, This was a come to Jesus talk about fire. And this kind of fire was a cleansing fire. It was a fire like a healthy forest fire that burns off all the brambles underneath so that new light can get in and new life can grow up. That's the kind of fire of which he speaks today. And then he says, do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division, family members against family members. And he goes on and on about that. It's not that he wants to cause division in families, but he's warning us that that's what sometimes happens when you stand up for what's right, and that that can happen. We wonder, where is this peace that we always hear about from Jesus? He's even called the Prince of Peace, right? This is a different kind of peace. He's talking about temporal peace, that peace that makes, you know, in common usage where everything is nice and everything is comfortable. There's another kind of peace, which is a deep shalom peace, a peace that comes in knowing the love and faith of Christ. And it's not always nice. It's not always comfortable. Love and faith can be painful and difficult. Just think of the times when you yourselves have had to stand up in the face of something that was difficult. In a relationship that had to be ended. Or in a conversation that you had to either speak up or walk away from. Or maybe it was a work situation in which you could not take part any longer because it risked your integrity. That's what Jesus is talking about with divisions and divisions. He cuts right through to what's real and authentic. In Matthew's gospel, he puts it a little differently in chapter 10, this same scene. And he writes, that Jesus says, "Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." A sword. There's two examples I'd like to share with you that depict this very clearly. One is a personal account that I witnessed, and another is from a movie I saw Friday night. The first is I had the privilege of going to a centering prayer retreat out in Snowmass, Colorado, many years ago at St. Benedict's Monastery, and it was in January, and I'm a South Florida girl, and the snow was like this, and so we spent most of our time, thank goodness, in the retreat house, and then in our little hermitages where they had us housed. But then in the early morning, we were allowed to go down the hill to the monastery where we would have communion and listen to the beautiful chanting of the monks. And they welcomed us at table, even though it was a Roman Catholic monastery. We were welcomed at table. It was a profound time. We got to know the monks, and one night one of the monks came up to the retreat house to teach us the method of Lectio Divina. And some of you know it well. If you don't know what it is, it's a method of taking in prayer a Bible verse, and you read it through several times, and there's several different things you do in that reading with a group. You can do it alone too, but some usually in a group. And the first reading, you pick out a word or a phrase that shimmers, that just jumps off the page to you, not necessarily from an intellectual approach, but just something that catches your eye. And then you go into prayer with that. The scripture for this night that the monk brought was from Hebrews chapter 4. Indeed, the word of God, and it's so similar to our gospel today, indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joint from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. So this was the text that we took into our hearts and souls. And one young woman, after we were encouraged to share our experiences, bravely spoke up. She said that she knew in that moment that she had to confess something that had been going on during the retreat. We all were sitting up, paying attention. She said the word that shimmered for her was piercing, and that she felt like it was just dividing what was right and what was wrong in her life. From the beginning of the retreat, she had had an attraction for a man at the retreat, and she was married. They'd been flirting and flirting, and she was just not feeling comfortable. And so in this prayer time, it came to her that it was wrong and that she just needed to stop. She said it came to her because she had a vision, and that in the prayer, she was walking down this mountain path, and it was winding around, and she got to a certain point, and she couldn't see in front of her. And so she turned around, and she's whisked back up on this little ledge. And now she could see the path, and she looked down. And had she kept walking, she would have gone right off the cliff. Powerful imagery that she shared with us. Said that it was a slippery slope she was on, and she was sorry. We never found out who the guy was, but we were very, very amazed at her bravery to share something so personal, that is so common to humanity. So that's one example. The other example is this movie that I saw Friday night called The Butler. If you haven't seen it, it just came out, and I can highly recommend it. It's a story of Cecil Gaines, who was a butler in the White House through many presidents, from Eisenhower through Reagan. And he had a son named Louis Gaines, and he and his son, it happens early in the movie, so I'm not ruining it for you, become divided because Louis, the son, chooses to stand up in the civil rights movement and marched with Dr. King, and he stood up against apartheid in South Africa, and they were divided and estranged because of it. This is the division of which Jesus speaks. He doesn't want our families divided, but he's teaching us that sometimes hard words have to be spoken. Hard words have to be spoken. The sword of truth and freedom surely can divide, but also bring together in love. Jesus tells us today, as he faces his sure and certain death, that resurrection happens in our life, even though you go through those difficult conversations or those difficult actions. Resurrection happens when we stay close to Christ and follow in the way in which we know we need to go, even if difficult. We have hard problems in this world, hard problems personally, but globally as well. Wars and the threat of wars, climate change that is real and threatens our very existence, arguments over who can love whom in LGBT issues, human trafficking, the fastest growing criminal activity in the world today, the homeless and poor, hunger and famine, oppression and abuse, addiction and crime. And Jesus is saying, light a fire. I want to light a fire under you to get moving, to help this world. So when I hear something like that, I'm thinking, well, I'm having a hard time just making sure that I've got groceries in the refrigerator and taking care of my loved ones and trying to do what's right. And Jesus is also here to tell us to not underestimate ever, my sisters and brothers, the power of prayer. We can do that always. And we can guard our own thoughts, as hard as that might be, or our own actions. If we're involved in a conversation, and we all do this, and, you know, get into a gossiping situation or allow a prejudiced statement to be spoken and don't say anything, we can do things personally and globally. And yes, it might cause division. And because we're human beings and we do mess up, we have to read the whole gospel. Jesus doesn't just leave us here with this tough stuff. This is the same Jesus who's teaching us about this amazing love of a father who welcomes back the prodigal son, about the love of this shepherd for the lost sheep who will look and look and look and look until that sheep is found and won't give up, and won't give up, who teaches us that overall, the most important thing is the love of God and the love of neighbor as ourselves. This is the same Jesus. He's not changing his mind here. Immediately following today's gospel, Jesus says, "Why not judge for yourselves what is right?" He had just commented on, you know, we're really good at figuring out the weather. He wants us to pay attention to culture and the times that we're in and to wake up to that. He's saying we do have the gift of knowledge. When we're walking with Christ, we do have that gift. And if we're not sure how to proceed in a sticky situation, then we can go to a trusted other, someone who will help us work it through without giving us pat answers. Last weekend, I had the opportunity to go to a festival called the Wild Goose Festival. It was in Hot Springs, North Carolina, and I was going to try to describe it for you, but a friend sent a description that's brief from the National Catholic Reporter, written by author John Deere. He was there presenting as well. There were 2,200 of us there, by the way. And he writes, "We gathered along the roaring French Broad River and the Appalachian Trail amid the Blue Ridge Mountains for 4 days of spirituality, justice, music, and art. With 100 speakers and performers, food and hiking, prayer and preaching. It was renewing and uplifting for one and all. It opened a space for Christians of all stripes to gather in the beauty of creation, to reflect on our lives, the Word of God, and the terrible challenges of the times, and to feel encouraged to go forth and build a better world. And all weekend long," he writes, "I heard the roaring river celebrate with us." In a moment, I'd like to share a video that I took there on my phone that was a real surprise. It's only 36 seconds long, but before I do, I'll tell you that we were camping along the banks of the French Broad River. I went with two friends that work with young adults down at St. Paul's, and we camped near the river. One afternoon, it was really hot, And we decided to go down to the river and put our feet in the cool water. And she went down ahead of me, Peyton, who sings with the young adults at St. Paul's. She walked down to the river and she said, come quick and bring your camera. So I go down, bring my camera. And I'm prefacing this so I don't, because I don't want you to be afraid when you see the video. There was a snake on a bush, and it was just kind of coiled up sleeping on the top of this bush. And it was amazing because the bush was really flimsy and kind of, you know, blown, and the snake didn't move. In the video, the snake doesn't move at all, so don't worry. He's not going to jump out, or he's not going to scare anybody. But he's in the forefront. So I went to take a picture, and I thought, I think I'm going to take a video so I get the river behind it. Maybe I'll be able to use it in church sometime. So I go in on it, and then I panned up so that I could get the river. And two young adults who had been in the campground next to us, I didn't know it, but they had gone into the river. And the current was really strong, but they were near the banks. So she comes into view, and you'll see her. I didn't see her friend who was out of my the camera image, but he was over here, and I kid you not, he looked just like Jesus. So she's swimming, trying to swim against the current, and he's over here. And she's saying, I wonder what would happen. The audio is not good, so that's the other reason I'm prefacing it for you. She's saying, I wonder what would happen, and he says, you'll go with it. Meaning, you're not going to be able to swim against the current. So then she actually goes with the current for a few minutes, and she's laughing. You'll hear her laughing. And he then comes into the frame, and he's looking, and he's going, you got it? Let's just watch that clip. There's the snake.
How's it feel? Cold.
It's great. So yeah. It's really nice.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go off.
I wonder what would happen if it's just like suspending ourselves.
You won't look at it.
Really?
You won't go. There's some rocks. You're coming up to them.
Got it, he says. And right before that, he said, there's some rocks. And then you see the snake in the foreground. I couldn't help but see the connection with today's gospel. We find ourselves swimming against what we know to be right, what we know to be real, and we really aren't able to do so very well. And when we finally realize to go with this flow of Christ, it may be risky, may be dangerous. There may be snakes nearby. There may be rocks. But we can go with that flow knowing always that Jesus Christ is walking right with us, saying, you got it? You got it? We stand on the banks of this river, and the deeper we get into relationship with God and we see how beautiful it is, even if wild and unpredictable, this way of Christ is mesmerizingly sacred. And we give thanks for a creator that is so much greater than us. A creator and loving son, Christ Jesus, that gives us strength and courage to cut through the confusion and messiness of our lives to the real flow, the peace that's deep and true, and that still small voice saying, you got it? Amen.